So, Kevin, you've been joining us here this evening.
Yes.
How much wine did you manage to consume?
I think about 2 bottles. But you've got to steal... It's a very difficult balance in being steeled enough to do the speech, but not steeled enough to be incoherent. But I think I managed to do it perfectly tonight, don't you?
I think you're as coherent as the best of them.
Thank you very much.
I really do.
This isn't the BBC Light programme.
The Tony Hancock Appreciation Society presents, very nearly an armful, a Tony Hancock podcast.
Hello and welcome to Very Nearly an Armful, brought to you by the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society.
On the podcast, we'll be discussing Tony's famous show, Hancock's Half Hour.
We'll discuss the show, the production, and what we liked about it.
We just generally get our geek on about vintage comedy.
We're your hosts. I'm James Griffith.
I'm Martin Gibbons.
I'm John Street.
And I'm Tim Elms.
And we're spread across the south of the UK in a line from Wiltshire to Essex via Kent.
And our members are spread all over the world.
Friends all over the world. All over the world. None in this country, but all over the world.
For this teaser podcast for the fourth series of Very Nearly an Armful, we have a huge piece of Hancock news. Hot on the heels of the DVD releases of The Tony Hancock Show and Hancock's 1963 series comes the discovery of a lost Radio Hancock's Half Hour episode. It's the first radio episode to be found since the discovery of the new secretary in the Blackpool Jungle in 2005. The first series episode, The Marriage Bureau, is even more special because in place of Kenneth Williams is the brilliant Peter Sellers, and it's the only Hancock's Half Hour where he appeared. As the episode was never repeated, the recording comes from the one and only broadcast on the 8th of February 1955, an amazing find. The episode was found by a group called The Radio Circle. It was Richard Harrison from The Radio Circle. And Keith Wickham has done a fantastic restoration. Just before this podcast was launched, a documentary about how the episode was found was broadcast. And the episode itself will be broadcast on Radio 4 on the 18th of October. The documentary was called Raiders of the Lost Archive. It really seems incredible that we have another episode in the archive to enjoy. And this time, we'll be able to compare it with the Missing Hancock's remakes.
Indeed we will. In this podcast, we chat to our committee and members in general about their favourite shows in a series of Vox Pops recorded at our reunion dinner at the Voco St John's Hotel, Solihull. We'll chat about the event, favourite episodes, and just generally geek out about all things Hancock. The highlight of the afternoon was our special guest, Julian Dutton, performing an excerpt from his sublime one-man show, Do You Think That's Wise? The Life and Times of John Lemessurier. So, we kick things off with a clip from his performance.
When I first met Tony, of course, through Hattie when she got the job of educating Archie, I thought to myself, well, here's a man to watch, you know. I mean, we'd had Hancock comedians before, of course, but here, for the very first time, a comedian weaving real life, you see, and real speech into comedy, along with his wonderful wife, Ray and Anna, of course. We bonded over jazz and cricket. He used to call me Eeyore, the lugubrious donkey from Winnie the Pooh. It's very good. You are Eeyore, Johnny, he said. It'd be a fit of laughter. I do remember he told me something wonderful. He said, meeting you, Johnny, is to know that one day I will be your best friend. And I was in there. There was this wonderful film, The Punch and Judy Man, of course. The Rebel before that. So we got on tremendously. I mean, The Punch and Judy Man is a very melancholy little film. It is. I remember we turned up at Bognor Regis in the middle of winter. It's the very sadder place on earth than a British seaside resort out of sea. It was a wonderful reunion of old friends. It really was. There's the lovely Manny of Britain, of course, and the wonderful Hugh Lloyd. But it was a sad little film in many ways, I remember. Because Tony's marriage to Sicily was sadly on the decline. My marriage to Hattie, They're broken up, you see. Now, I think our scenes in the film have an air of sad realism about it. But I managed to escape my little crisis. We all know Tony's sad areas. See, I prefer to remember Tony at his peak, you see. When television studios and radio theaters would simply shake with laughter. When bus drivers would stop their buses and climb up in their cabs, cross the road and shake him warmly by the hand. He was quite extraordinary. He had the finest comic delivery of anyone I've ever known, you see. And you see, he was my best friend.
Welcome to our reunion dinner, and we're delighted to be back once again this year in Tony's hometown of Birmingham. What's been happening across the society? Well, quite a bit this year. First up, we've been delighted to work with Lucy and Kaleidoscope on the release of The Tony Hancock Show from 1956 and The Hancock Series from 1963 on DVD. It's also been great to include so many extras on the 1963 series release too, including all the surviving audio recordings of the 1967 series, and to be able to include detailed sleeve notes with each release. So many thanks to Lucy, Chris, and our own John Street and Nick West for the audio restoration on the extras. Well done. Society has also been delighted to work with Lucy and Sarah Butler from Roger Hancock Limited to help digitise much of the family's archive. Tim, John and I spent many happy hours creating digital copies of the unique archive. And Tim and I have also been pleased to work with Lucy and Kaleidoscope to produce the book containing the best of not only the Hancock family archive, but selections from the Society's archive too. The book was formally launched in mid-August at the BFI in London. And I've written down copies of the book can be available from Chris today, but he's now left. But actually, he sold everything he brought, which is fantastic. As you'll have seen from the missing page, Society has also been pleased to support Riverside Studios in their showing of Hancock's half-hour episodes on the big cinema screen. They have shown 6 episodes so far, with 3 more to be shown on the 1st of October, and a 4th event planned for February. It's absolutely fantastic to see what they call upscaled editions of Hancock's half-hour, so really well restored on the big screen. Tim and I have introduced the episodes and have taken part in a Q&A session afterwards. Tim also worked closely with the Riverside Studios in designing and setting up an archive display from the Society's archive. And that was put in place in April, and the display is still there, and it will be there until the 1st of October, when it will then finally have to be taken down. But it's a fantastic archive, and it's in the foyer in front of their cinema, so the number of passers-by who have been able to see the Society's name and see some of our archive has been incredible. The Society was also pleased to be invited to attend the opening night of the brilliant play The Lad Himself, which was performed in Highgate, North London, starring Mark Brailsford in the lead role. Mark is hoping to take the show on tour, and we'll let you know if we have any more news on that. Although, when we left him, he said he was looking for funding. So if there are any offers, I'm sure he'd be very grateful. And there's some more exciting things happening in the coming months. We can't tell you about these today, but keep a watch out for the missing page and emails from Tim. We'll let you know what is happening as soon as we can. All I can say is, what a brilliant year it's been for the lad himself.
And now our roving reporter Nick West chats to members about Society and their favourite episodes.
So you've been a member of the Society for quite a number of years now. The question is, why?
Well, you know, the answer is, because in 1980 I saw the words, if you'd like to join the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society, send 50p and a self-addressed envelope to this address. And I thought, I've got 50p, and I've been a very big Tony Hancock fan for many years, and I thought I'd have a go. Now, the question of why I've been for so long is a different matter. I just like the guys and the girls here, It's a very fun time. We have nice food and we meet some people, some of them who actually knew Tony Hancock, which is nice. And at the moment, of course, we're hanging out with Lucy, who never met Tony but is in fact a blood relative of his. So that's great. I love it. And of course, you yourself and everyone else who's involved in society, you do a great job, and well done everyone.
Fantastic.
Yes.
And would you mind stating your name for the record, please?
Yes, for the record, my name is Nigel Parkinson, Beano Artist. That's my full name.
And that is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but a total sham. Favourite episode of Hancock's Half Hour? Go.
The school reunion.
Of course, Greystones, my old school.
Greystones?
Yes, the finest public school in the country. I was there for 7 years.
I had no idea you were a public school, boy, Tub.
What? Oh, my gosh, Yaroo, Lego, yes, oh, yes, yes.
Favourite episode of Hancock?
Radio, Mum.
All these headphones, enough, make your ears hot. Dear, oh, dear. Two braised lamb chops under there.
Favourite episode of Hancock's Half Hour?
Because I used to be a TV engineer, the set that failed.
Oh, really, this is most exasperating.
We're doing all we can, sir.
Well, you should know what's wrong with it by now. You've been here 5 minutes.
Well, it's very difficult to say, sir. Have you been kicking it?
Well, of course I've been kicking it. How else do you think I changed the channels over? One kick BBC, 9 kicks ITA. I had to change over 6 times last night. I've got toes like globe artichokes here.
And now, back to Martin and a clip of our special guest's after-dinner speech.
Well, that's the lot from me. Before I go and get me tea and biscuits, although actually I've just had them, it gives me great pleasure to be able to introduce you to Kevin McNally, who's given so many wonderful performances, including Drosamine Gibbs in Pirates of the Caribbean films, the Prime Minister in Johnny English, and in so many top quality TV shows, most recently in Doctor Who, and as Captain Mannering in the remake of Dad's Army. Of course, our fondest memory is when Kevin took on the role of Hancock in the brilliant Missing Hancocks. So please give a very warm welcome to Kevin McNally.
I had for years been trying to make a film about Tony Hancock, and I'd commissioned some people to write me a film that I could either be in or direct, and it didn't happen. And then in 2013, Neil Pearson sent me a text while I was in Richmond, Virginia, about doing this show, the Missing Hancocks. And I'm so pleased that I didn't do the thing before about drinking and depression and, you know, the bad part of the life. I realized that I wanted to enjoy his joy and the joy that he gave up. So when he asked me this very long email saying, would you please help me recreate these gaps? I said, absolutely yes. I mean, it wasn't until I actually went in front of the audience. I thought, what the hell am I doing? You know, trying to recreate Hancock. So I got the job and it was great. Not only did we redo all of those wonderful episodes that were missing, we even got the great opportunity to do The Counterfeiter, which is an episode, a radio episode, that Hancock didn't even do. I think Hancock thought that Bill Kerr's part was too big and he turned it down. But it's actually a wonderful episode and it's really worth listening to. I am very proud that I have been a small part, along with the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society, as being a little bit of a torchbearer for Tony's memory. And this week has been wonderful because I did a long interview for the BBC for a wonderful two-part documentary that's coming up about Tony's life. So thank you very much. It's an honor to be here again, and I'll see you in 8 years. Okay?
Hands up those who don't want him to come back again. Now, I'm trying to try and be serious with him. He's been awful all night, honestly. You would not believe what he's told me. One of which was quite rude, I thought, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, all seriousness, Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time to come down.
Thank you.
You've been a revelation.
I have, thank you.
A real revelation, and I think you underestimate yourself when you said you just play a small part in Hancock. I think you've brought Hancock to brought Hancock to what? To life. I mean, I can remember him when he first came out, but same as I can remember King George the VI, or was it King George the V? I never know which. And his comment about Bognor, but then that stays the same, doesn't it? No, seriously, Kevin, you've been really kind to come to see us, and your speech off the cuff like that, anybody would think you were an actor. You really would.
It is my hometown, though, so I've come home. It's great.
But you haven't got the Brummy twang, have you?
What are you talking about?
What's an out?
Rude.
No, I thought you were right, you know, turn out a bit.
That was our treasurer, Ken Clark, doing his best Brummy accent. Over now to Tim Elms.
I found myself in a very noisy bar with Julian Dutton, who earlier in the afternoon had performed an extract from his one-man show. And I noticed he had a copy of our book with him.
Yes, I have indeed. It is a really remarkable book called Tony Hancock. Actually, I'll stop being John O'Measure now. Yes, I've been very delighted to perform my an excerpt from my John O'Measure show. This is the real me, Julian Dutton, a lifelong Tony Hancock fan, and I've just bought the amazing book, which I can hardly carry because it's so weighty and fantastic. It's a mighty tome. Tony Hancock, Inside His Life in Words and Pictures, by Lucy Hancock, Martin Gibbons, and Tim Elms, with a foreword by the actor Kevin McAnally, who played Hancock, of course, in The Missing Hancock. And it is a treasure house. It's an amazing treasure house. I'm leafing through it now. It's got letters, telegrams, posters, wonderful contracts, all the way back to Hancock's early life and variety. It's quite simply a Hancock encyclopedia. There aren't many books on Hancock, and I have most of them, but this looks absolutely amazing. And I could sit and read it now for you if you want, but that would be quite rude of me. I shall treasure it in private.
You said you've been a fan of Hancock all your life. How did you get into it, man?
I first got into Hancock, I guess, during the 80s, when the radio shows began to be released on vinyl. Well, of course, they'd been released before, but I think a new batch of vinyl comedy LPs of Hancock were released in the 80s, and I was an avid collector of comedy on vinyl. I'd collected the Python Records, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, and I happened to buy Hancock, and I think I'd heard him before. There must have been some repeats on radio before when I was a young child, but that's when I really began to be obsessed with him. I collected all the available LPs, cassettes of course, and he just simply blew me away. His comic delivery, the character, the Eugene character, was just so rich and finely written and just beautifully conjured up this lovely world of East Cheam, and this, it was almost a sort of fantasy world, but it was also realistic. It was a sort of fantasy version of life in the 50s, seedy life in a terraced house in the 50s. And I was just entranced by it, and I've been listening ever since. And Sunday afternoon at home, of course, the classic episode. If there was a gun to my head and I said, what's my favourite episode? And someone asked me what my favourite episode was, I would say that, because it's quite simply astonishing. An astonishing achievement.
Why don't you sit down and relax? It's a day of rest. Have a kip or something, anything. But do me a favour and shut up.
Oh, dear. What a life. It's Sunday. I've had a rotten dinner. It's raining. And I've got nothing to do.
There's plenty of odd jobs you can do around the house.
Oh, shut up. It's a day of rest. I'm not mending your bed again.
There's a line from The Elopement, which I always quote to people, where Sid and he and Bill are just sitting there and they're not chatting. And Hancock stares up at the ceiling and says, I see that spider still up there. And it just comes out of nowhere. It's just such, and it gets a big laugh. It's not a joke, not a gag. It's just an observation from real life where we've all looked up at the ceiling and seen a spider. And that must have been so fresh and new to listeners. Comedy that's just mundane and real.
That spider's still up there. I'll get the vacuum over him tomorrow.
Look forward to the collecting the ATV series from '63, which
I think I'm allowed to say, has been released.
Yes, it's been released now, hasn't it?
Yes, which I'm looking forward to collecting that. And although it wasn't written by Goldman Simpson, there are some wonderful moments in it, and it's been unfairly judged by posterity, I think, because I've seen some of, you know, most of the available episodes, and there's some great comedy in it. There's flashes of genius in it.
We watched one of the episodes here this afternoon, and it went down very well with the Hancock fans gathered here.
Absolutely. I think The Man in the Corner. And a favourite episode of the ATV series of mine is The Girl, which is interesting because it mines Tony Hancock's romantic nature, which was unmined by Goldman Simpson, and probably rightly so, because East Jean Hancock wasn't a romantic in terms of falling for the girl like Norman Wisdom was.
I'm sorry. Heel of my shoes come loose.
Oh. Well, sit on top of the steps and perhaps I can fix it for you, all right?
Thank you.
Let's see now.
Would you like to buy a posy for your girlfriend, sir?
It's tricky, this. I shan't be a minute. That's it.
Well, do you mind if I try it? Not that I think I can do it any better, but... Oh.
Yes, well, I suppose there's a knack in everything.
It was sweet of you to help.
Well, I didn't really, did I?
Well, nice of you to try. Oh, goodness, there's my bus. I must go. Goodbye. Thanks so much.
So there are some gems in the series.
That's brilliant. Thanks very much, Julian.
So have you enjoyed this year? Because you weren't able to make it last year, were you?
Yeah, it's been difficult the last couple of years. Things have been cancelled and not cancelled. But this has been very enjoyable, yeah.
Yeah, and have you listened to our podcasts?
I have heard some of them. I can't hear all of them because of reasons. But they're very, very good, very enjoyable. You're also very enthusiastic, which I do like about podcasts. I can't stand those dreary ones where you've been drone on and you can't understand
in a dreadful
why they're
monotone.
So interesting.
Yeah.
But these are a lot of delight in them, very good. And I appreciate them. Do some more, please.
Yeah, what do you think? Did you see the episode earlier that we screened, the man?
Yeah,
the corner?
Yeah. I've watched all of them in the last couple of weeks. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Most of them I'd seen before, but it's great to see them crystal clear. And you know, one that everyone doesn't like, but I thought was great, was the reporter. I thought the beginning bit with the boxing match and the reveal that it was kids, it was really funny.
Yeah.
It tapers off a little bit, but you know, that's what happens in those old 63 shows, you know. Yeah. I thought Hancock was very good at the beginning.
Give him the left! The left! No, the left! Kick the resin in his eyes! That's it, that's it! Now you got him, that's it! Kill him! Kill him! Hit him in the throat! That's it, good lad! Good boy! How, you fool!
Hello, Inspector! Inside, Simpson! I'll give you his voice, sir!
Hey! Yeah. What do you reckon your favourite episode of Hancock's Half Hour is then?
Hancock's Half Hour, the Goldman Simpson one.
Yeah.
Radio or TV?
Let's go radio.
Radio. I've got a very soft spot for Hancock and the Police.
Oh, yes, I'm with you on that one. That is a grand one.
I just think the bit with him and Kenny Williams in the street towards the end.
Morning,
you know.
Cheeky.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beauty like yours would fit in anywhere, my little goose, you know, and all that stuff.
Oh, it's great.
Excellent stuff.
There are 100 policemen hiding in the shop doorways along here, waiting to spring out on any man who talks to me.
Oh, you must be important. Well, those bodyguards, I bet you're an Eastern princess or something.
Do I look like an Eastern princess?
A beauty like yours would fit in anywhere, my little goose. Come to have pictures with me.
I'm not coming. What's on?
And TV, I would probably have to say, I'd probably say The Bowmans.
Bowmans, pretty good.
I just find his acting is a certain pitch in that, which he didn't always get in the TV shows.
Yeah.
Probably because it's just him, there's no Sid and no, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought he was very good.
I've been in this programme for 5 years. I've acted me heart out for you.
Ah, yes, that's another thing. Your acting.
What about my acting? Well, it's erratic. We never know from show to show what performance to expect next. And what is more, people are beginning to notice your accent.
My accent is perfect. I spent 6 months on a cider farm in Devon getting it right.
It is never the same two performances running. Sometimes it's Somerset, sometimes it's Suffolk, then a bit of Welsh, Birmingham. Last week, I could swear we had a bit of Robert Newton in there.
So there you go, there's my picks.
good pick. I think Bowman's is the best out of that final series, yeah, arguably, isn't it? You know, so fantastic. Well, thank you very much indeed for your Vox Pop night.
Thank you.
So would you say you've had a lovely evening, then?
Oh, it's been wonderful. It's always a joy to be with the Hancock Appreciation Society. It's been particularly lovely tonight because now, of course, we have the release of the archive and the lovely Lucy Hancock has signed my books. I've been fangirling over it the whole time. And she was sweet enough to tell me that I was a big part of her childhood in parts of the Caribbean. So we've just been signing everything. I mean, I very nearly signed her forehead. I mean, it was, you know, that... We were that fangirly together.
She refused to sign my boobs, so I think you're one up there. I think I've got one final question for you. Who in the committee is the most handsome, and why is it Mr. Timothy Elms?
Well, I think it's Mr. Timothy Elms, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, because he is the only one who's not an octogenarian, I feel.
Absolutely. This has been Nick, committee member for the website, aged 96, joining Kevin McNally for the Hancock Appreciation Society 2022 reunion dinner. Thank you very much.
Lovely to see you, and you know you're the most gorgeous.
No, stop it, you.
No,
stop it. Stop messing about.
I'll see you soon.
I bet you will.
Well, that is to say, who is the most handsome man in the world, and why am I?
We're in Solihull Hold in the West Midlands. I've got Mark with me. Mark's been a member of the Society for over 30 years. So what got you into the Hancock... did you get into Hancock then, Mark?
Well, yeah, so I've been a member for over 30 years and I got bugged through, like a lot of people, through listening to parents' albums and records. You know, remember the lovely old days of listening to records and still got the old ones that inherited from my dad, so it all grew from there, really.
What's your favourite episode?
Probably Hancock and the Police. I know Hancock probably wouldn't have liked it, but the scene with him and the Snide character chatting him up when Hancock's dressed as the lady cashier to try and, you know, grab the suspects that's been raiding all the shops. Yeah, my favourite episode.
You girls are all the same. You tantalise a man till you drive him to distraction. Yeah, what about coming to the pictures?
You're making a big mistake. Things aren't what they seem. Go and find somebody else.
No, I want you.
But yeah, I don't think Tony would have liked that so much because of the Snide character wasn't his favourite one, though.
Do you like any of the later episodes without the Snide character?
The ones where he did on his own, like the lift, yeah, is always a classic. And the one of him and Sid trying to track down the missing page, always a classic.
So, Inspector, you can see the only person who could have done all these murders is the man sitting over there. So saying, Johnny Oxford pointed his finger at, men, are you skinny? Do you have sand kicked in your face? If so, wait a minute, that's not right. There's a page missing, the last page is missing. Where's the last page? What have you done with the last page?
I haven't touched the last page.
Well, where is it? It's gone. The solution's on the last page. Oh, this is ridiculous. Here am I, a bag of tensed up nerves, waiting to see you did it, and this happens. It's enough to send a man round the twist. What has happened to the last page?
Let me have a look, then. Well, there you are, then. See that jagged edge there? It's been torn out.
Torn out?
Yes, probably somebody lit a fag with it or something.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Mark.
I'm here with committee member Leslie Lawrence.
How have you and your own founder? You've been having a lovely time?
We've had an absolutely awesome time, haven't we, Mum? We've had a fantastic time tonight. It's been absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
And we've enjoyed being at Voco, which you've never been before as well. And it was hearing about Kevin McNally, wasn't it? And,
yes, he was just really good. I recognise him, but I didn't
want to
see him. He's a familiar face.
He's been everything.
I can't always put a name to him, but now I can.
What I liked about it, it was very poignant, you know, when Julian did his piece. There were some moments where he just paused and there was, you know, when he was talking about, obviously...
Dramatic pauses.
There was dramatic pauses, weren't there, when, you know, he was talking about...
Sadly, love-wise, I mean, he had some lovely ladies in there. had some dirty tricks laid on him as well.
Well, his first wife had a drinking problem, his second wife left him, and his third wife left him and then came back.
Yeah.
I suppose, ladies and gentlemen, if any one person is responsible for the success I've achieved in my life, then it is, of course, my dear beloved Hattie. I first set eyes on Hattie at the Players Theatre in Villiers Street, where she was performing her wonderful musical show. I felt for her immediately. A voluptuous woman in a billowing dress, singing Don't Dilly Dally. And suddenly in my life, a door swung open. And what lay beyond that door was the B movie. Now it's here, ladies and gentlemen, I must confess that I've made so many films in my career that I can hardly remember the titles of a single one of them. And it's got so bad, you know, that whenever I go in for a meeting with a producer, they say, what might we have seen you in recently, Johnny? The only one I can ever remember is a thing I made called Old Mother Riley and the Vampire.
People really seem to enjoy these displays, and they are wonderfully made.
Good, thank you. Yes,
very aesthetically pleasing.
It doesn't look a lot, but it takes a lot to sort out.
I can imagine. I've been going through a lot of our archive stuff for the website, and that website, my eyes started going in opposite directions.
Yes,
there you go.
You're doing a brilliant job. Fantastic.
Oh.
I love your background slide, that is just
so fun. I do aim to do it a bit better, because I've done it about half 11 last night.
Yeah, that is just so good. It's the sort of thing we haven't had before, and it just puts that professional touch on it.
Yes. We're a professional society.
We are indeed.
So what's it like to actually meet the rest of the podcasters in person, young James?
Well, I never actually believed you all existed. I just thought you were either a figment of my imagination or some sort of AI generation.
Or some kind of bizarre fever dream, maybe.
Yeah.
Hancockian fever dream.
Some sort of hangover from the COVID curse that hit us for a couple of years. But yeah, no, I've loved it. It's great to meet everyone in person. Everyone's so friendly. And it's Monty, my boys, had a lovely time, really got involved. And I can't wait to see you again next year.
Yeah.
Loved it. It's great to meet you as well, John. Great to meet everyone.
Absolute pleasure to meet you. So I'm doing some little vox pops to put into the first episode of the next series.
Oh, no.
So I thought I'd come and pester you because, you know, I'm just that kind of guy, Dave.
No.
Have you enjoyed this afternoon?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed it. Yeah, I think the speech has been good. The whole event's been a real success. Be good to see some familiar faces as well. So it's only our second one, so I really enjoyed that. That's been great.
But you enjoyed, did you see the screening earlier that we had of The Man on the Corner? And
I'm afraid I didn't. So these two did. But I've had a tough week, so I actually...
I know the feeling.
Which is pretty sad. But it was,
Yeah. Because you're quite a fan, aren't you, yourself?
The content and the acting was tremendous. Yeah, it was very impressive. Yeah. We enjoyed it.
Canteen?
Ah, that's better. Agent 13 reporting.
You're what?
Secret Agent 13 reporting.
Some joker. Yeah, get this. Central Control here. Go ahead, 13.
Spotted suspected spy again. Followed him home. Made discreet inquiries. Name Eric Matthews. Address flat 24, Palmerston Court.
Good work, 13. Boy's a real scream, this one.
Well, that's the thing. I think that series has a rather unfair reputation because it went up against Step 2 and Son. Step 2 and Son won out in the ratings and the popular view. But I think overall it was actually pretty good. So it's nice that it's finally getting a bit more of an airing. We're able to see it all again, you know.
Well, I saw it originally.
Yeah, well, you saw it originally. Well, I've seen it many, many times.
I was just saying about the the Sunday afternoon.
Mm.
They disagreed with me. I felt that, having lived through the 50s, and that depressing time, Sunday used to be terrible. And he portrayed it so well.
Oh, yeah.
Cultural zeitgeist kind of thing, isn't it, really? I mean, they weren't that different in the 90s, really.
What Bill said was the fact that he said, and then you've seen Seinfeld, and I said, that's exactly what you said it on the podcast, but someone said that Seinfeld was the whole thing about comedy out of nothing. And it's unprompted, that's what you said, wasn't it? It's the original Seinfeld.
Yeah. And the time drag. Oh, I do hate Sundays. I'll be glad when it's over. Drives me up the wall just sitting here looking at you lot. Every Sunday it's the same. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. Just sit here waiting for the next lot of grub to come up. Ah, dear. There must be something we can do. Bill, haven't you got any bright ideas?
No.
That was a waste of time asking, really, wasn't it?
He certainly is. He was, I think, ahead of his time to some extent, Tony. That's why his stuff's still funny now. If it was dated, you know, we wouldn't all be here today, would we?
No, but you can listen to it. So I put you onto the sounds, didn't I? So now listen to it. So we had the experience of a holiday with him sitting, listening to it, bursting out laughing on the beach in silence. But it's just sheer masterpieces. That's what you want to listen to. And that's what, with the podcast, and what you do for me, is it just reopens that up, which I love. Mm. You know, so you've got four guys who describe themselves as geeks, which probably is done by geeks for geeks, which is what is the value of it. You know, and it is excellent to listen to, like I say, on long journeys when you... had a pretty stressful week as I'm having at the moment, and to listen to that, it just takes to another place. It's like we have a lot of mindfulness talked about. For me, that's a little bit of mindfulness in a box of really a nice, safe place to talk about stuff that stretches your mind a little bit and just puts you in the happy place. That's really cool.
Fantastic. Oh, that's the best quote I think I'm going to get.
Oh, no.
I like that,
the
mindfulness.
It's fantastic. It is really... it's really cool.
Thank you very much, Leo.
My pleasure.
So I'm here with the lovely Ros Dawson. And so, Ros, how were you originally introduced to the world of Hancock's Half Hour?
I was introduced through the person that's now my husband, and he had tapes and LPs, and it was not come and see my etchings, it was come and listen to my Hancock LPs.
Yeah.
I then, as a Christmas present, many, many years ago, joined him into the Hancock Society.
And what would you say your favourite sort of episode or line from a show is? Is there a particular...
My favourite episode is Sunday Afternoon. I just love the lines and the love the feel that the program gives you, and it just reminds me of when I was young growing up and my parents would have the radio on a Sunday lunchtime. So when I'm listening to Sunday Afternoon, I can smell Mum's roast dinner cooking, and it gives you a lovely feel.
I wish I hadn't got up now. Your dinner wasn't worth getting up for, I'll tell you that for a start.
Oh, well, I don't know. I ate all mine.
That is neither here nor there. You also ate Bill's and Sid's and mine. I thought my mother was a bad cook, but at least her gravy used to move about. Yours just sort of lies there and sets.
That's the goodness in it.
That's the half a pound of flour you put in it.
That's great, isn't it? I mean, it's such a fun episode, that one in particular. A lovely little moments that we all know in our life and you don't think of.
Yeah.
And of course, the wonderful surrealness of Kenneth Williams at the end as the very annoying neighbour.
Yes.
I mean, the sort of life you lead is a lot different to mine. Yes. I mean, on the stage, you meet all those pretty young ladies and I suppose you sort of wine and dine them in all the big clubs in the town.
Oh, yes, unceasingly, yes. Yes, it's a wonder you found me in.
Great.
Years ago, I had the privilege to go to the BBC and to see Kenneth Williams in Just a Minute. And it was one of the most funniest evenings, and I think I've never laughed as much and fallen off my chair as much as actually seeing Kenneth Williams in person.
He had a great stage presence, didn't he? He was a larger-than-life character, and he very much played up to the microphone in Just a Minute, didn't he?
And then, fantastic. Obviously, I've had the huge privilege of meeting Bill Kerr when Mick and I went to Australia.
So just over 15 years ago, yes, and had an afternoon of sightseeing with the lovely Bill Kerr.
Yes, and his driving. It's still, I can still feel the fear of sitting in the back of his old ramshackled car being driven across Perth and him changing lanes in the motorway and persuading lorries to move out of his way because he was changing lanes. It was a day I shall never forget.
Well, you've never been in the back of my car, Ross, but it's a similar experience.
Car's going better since we had the new engine put in.
Yes. Marvellous. A couple of gold-plated bumpers, they wouldn't know the difference. Jump on the mat, something horrible! If we didn't have a roof on it, we would all have been thrown out miles ago.
Oh, stop moaning.
Well, it's not right having to wear a skid lid in a closed-in motor car.
Look, this is the last time I go on holiday with you. Complaining the whole time we were in France, complaining on the boat coming back. 400 yards from your house and you're still complaining. You completely ruined my holiday, you have.
So I'm here with the lovely Mick Dawson, who's a member of... I think you're lovely. Are you not lovely?
That's what I was to say.
depends who you ask. Because obviously you've been a member of our committee for donkey shit now since the early
80s. Well, we did have a committee when I first started. We just sort of met in the pub or something. But, somewhere around 1990, maybe a bit before that. Well, as you know, I was doing the audio librarian
stuff
when nobody else had anything, but now everything's available commercially, it's sort of ground to a halt.
What do you reckon your favourite episode of Hancock's Half Hour is?
I've got a favourite one. I certainly like the Poison Pen Letters.
That's a good one.
I think he plays all the parts of himself of the army and the police and everything.
Yeah.
All right, men, train the machine gun on the door. You 15 men, get ready to pounce on him. Have you got the hand grenades ready, Sergeant? Yes, sir. Corporal?
Sir?
Tear gas ready?
Yes, sir.
He's walking into a trap. He doesn't know it. Machine gun crew, are you all ready? Sir? Ah, sir. Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir.
And there's another one I particularly like. Albert Poetry Society is one I particularly like.
Ah, that's a good one, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It's
the only one without any incidental music at all in it.
Well, do you know, I hadn't really thought about that or spotted it, but now you say it's quite good, yes.
Yeah.
Steel rods of reason through my head. Salmon jumping where jump I? Camels on fire and spotted clouds. Striped horses prance the meadow wild and rush on to drink at life's fountains deep. Life is cream. I am puce, ching chang cholla.
Next, we return to Ken, who hosted a Q&A with Kevin McNally.
Right, is anybody who, if you want questions, please put your hand or anything else into the air. You, what would you've got to say to Kevin?
Rebel is just extraordinary, what he can do. Has there ever been any talk or any discussions about doing something
I mean, the dream maker of the rhythm.
Well, not that I've heard of, but to be honest with you, my personal opinion, I saw a wonderful cartoon recently about, you know, where we are in terms of entertainment. And it's an arena full of writers. And in the middle, there's a Hollywood executive going, what can we remake now? And I think it's very clever because we are in a bit of an era when people want to recreate stuff that was perfect. And why would you want to do that? What I think we need is to find the new Hancocks and the new Rebels, and I hope we do that. But if they do make the Rebel and I don't get cast as Tony Hancock, there will be blood spilled. I thank you. Can I ask a question? Is there any more white wine? Tibble, bucket up. Tibble, come. Oh, I don't need to steal yours. All right, thank you very much. Oh, God. Indian given.
Well, I was lucky enough to see a couple of the episodes you did at the BBC. I
just wondered, oh, did you come to the audience?
I did, yes. Very funny. There was very much an ensemble there. Do you think that was the way it was originally as well?
Yes.
We arranged to get the against that.
Very much so. What we tried to do, as you will know having been there, is that we sort of went on stage in character, and we wanted to try to create, you know, I didn't go on there as Kevin, I went on as Tony, and we all did that, and tried to create what the experience would be like to have watched a recording of the Hancocks all those years ago. And in fact, it worked very well because most of the big laughs came not on the script. It was, you know, the banter between me and Robin Sebastian, who was brilliant as Kenneth Williams, and of course Simon Greenall playing Sid James was just rude to everybody. So they were genuinely, you know, I've made a few Hollywood films in my time, but I'll never, ever, it'll never match doing those recordings of Hancock's Missing Act. It's the greatest thing I've ever done in my life. And I'm really glad you came along, thank you. None of you other buggers bothered, did you?
It's Andrew, isn't it?
It's Andrew, yes.
Have you enjoyed this event? It's the first time you've been there?
It's the second time. Obviously, being in Birmingham helps living in Wolverhampton. That's so, right. Much helpful for us.
Yeah. And do you think it's come off as a success? You enjoyed yourself?
Yes, very much so. Well, we've won the raffle, so it has to be successful.
Well, that's and great.
I thought the showing of the Man on the Corner, was it, earlier on? Thoroughly enjoyed that. I thought the speeches were fantastic. I'm just a pity that I've not been able to have a drink because I'm driving.
Most of the pity.
But my wife's made up for that. It's been a really nice evening. Thank you for arranging it.
Thank you very much indeed for coming, and thank you for the write-up that we will be publishing in our missing page.
You won't be disappointed, I'm sure.
Well, if we're not, we know you live in Wolverhampton, so we know where to get to. I've got your mugshot, that's it.
I do believe we've got our youngest Hancock fan with us here in Solihull. So, what's your name?
My name is Monty.
And how old are you, Monty?
I'm 10.
And what's your favourite episode of Hancock?
The lift.
Ah, the intrepid birdman.
Well, what's happening? What's wrong? Trouble with the lift? Anybody press the button?
Do you know, we'd never thought of that. Anybody press the button? Dear, oh dear, the military mind. Of course we'd press the button. What do you think we've been doing? Trying to pull it up by the rope?
Why do you like that episode the best?
Because that's the one that I first ever watched and it was really funny.
Excellent. And who are you here with today?
My dad.
And who's your dad?
James Griffith.
James Griffith? He's the man I do the podcast with. Do you listen to the podcast?
Yes, I do.
I should hope so too. Thank you very much, Monty.
And that's about it for our reunion dinner report. So take it away, Tim.
Why not join us in the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society today? You can find us at tonyhancock.org.uk for all the information on how to join.
For just £13 a year, you'll have access to the members area of our website and receive 4 magazines a year by email packed with information on Tony, his shows and archive material.
Members also get a digital-only bonus pages supplement every quarter, plus occasional special editions on a single theme.
Or you can have printed copies posted to your door for £16 in the UK or £26 worldwide.
And we're a friendly and welcoming bunch, so please do join. We have reunion events with archive displays and occasional Zoom quiz nights.
Please do get in touch. We love questions and conundrums, compliments and feedback. To do so is very easy. Send your emails to podcast@tonyhancock.org.uk.
Keep an eye on our Twitter accounts for the latest news on the podcast and all things Tony Hancock. We have 3 Twitter accounts, which are East Team Lad, Tony Hancock Appreciation Society, and Very Nearly an Armful.
In the next episode, we'll be reviewing the recently discovered radio episode The Marriage Bureau, which was repeated for the first time since 1955 on the 18th of October this year. We hope that you'll be able to join us to review this exciting new episode.
For now, that's Very Nearly an Armful, so I'll say ta-ta.
It's sayonara from me.
Chickity Snitch.
And this is GLK London signing off for a quick cough and a drag.
This has been an official podcast of the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society. Unfortunately, it was not written by Alan Simpson and Ray Gordon, whoever they are. The announcer was me, Robin Sebastian, currently appearing in the saloon bar of the Hand and Racket.
Hi, kids. Hi. Bugger off!